Grote, he is a member of the Free Software Foundation. He studied philosophy and informatic, and he is really interested in the rights and freedom of citizens in our digital times. And he is will present the his presentation has the title "Free Your Android," and so it's really cool. The first presentation shows what is possible with proprietary software, and now we can see what is it is possible to make your mobile free.
Thanks. So I announced this presentation in English, so I'm asking, is there anybody here who wants to listen to the presentation and who doesn't speak German? So all of you speak German? No, some back there. Okay, so we do it in English. Normally, I would have given the presentation in a way that I just have given you all the boring facts, and this is how you can make your mobile free, and this is why it needs to be free, but I decided to do it differently this time. And this time, I'm just telling the story of the campaign and how I freed my own phone. Okay, so first thing was, I used to have this thing, OpenMoco FreeRunner, because I was interested in hackability, I wanted to have full control over my own device, and I was having big hopes in this thing. Unfortunately, the software never was really mature, and I got in big trouble with my girlfriend. She couldn't understand me on the phone, calls were dropping, SMS did go away, so it was no fun. But it's still the most free phone around. And then there was the successor, the GTA 04, and the guy who did this initiative is sitting right here in front. And I think it's awesome that we have guys like that that still try to make really free phones, also from the hardware side up. But unfortunately, I wanted to have a phone that works right now, right here, and I wanted to have a smartphone. So I was looking around, what were the alternatives? There were the Nokia N9s and the other Nokias which you could slide out, which were nice, but still getting kind of old, getting kind of big, and everybody had those Android phones, and I thought, okay, what about those? Apparently, Android is free software, it runs Linux, but it doesn't have a native Linux user land, all the apps are in Java, although you can have some native applications, so it sounds kind of like a trade-off, but I thought, okay, why not? I heard you can install different operating systems on those Android phones, so I looked into them. And, yeah, Android turned out as the winner for me. And I bought a phone, and once I started it and I wanted to work with it because I, like, didn't want to install new software on it right away. I just wanted to use it, to get used to it, see how it works. But what happened was that there was kind of a few annoyances, which means just things that got on my nerves. There were thousands of applications on it. It was worse than any Windows PC that you can buy. I don't know if it's with your Android phones the same. I had bought a Sony Ericsson one, and there's like a whole load of crapware on it. There was a UEFA soccer app and Get More Hot New Videos app, and there was a WhatsApp and a Facebook app. Okay, no problem, because on Windows, what I usually do is just reinstall everything and it's gone. But there, I could not even remove those applications. I thought, what the hell? It's my phone, and I want to remove that crap. It was taking up RAM, it was taking up space on the flash card, and it just didn't go away. I thought, okay, I can live with that. Try the phone even more, try to get used to it, try to see how it works, and what happened, when I was working with it all the time, my apps were going away, and there was a big screen filling the whole screen saying, please connect your phone with a Google account. I said, what? No, I don't want that. Like, I don't want Google to have all my data without their new privacy agreement, which says they can combine everything from all their services, including the mobile. And I wanted to have my data on my phone and not going in the cloud to Google somewhere. And I wanted to be in control of my phone, so I thought, okay, I bought a phone, so at least let me try to unlock it. Because I heard, okay, you need to unlock the phone, and then you are able to install different software on it. And turns out there is a couple of phones which you cannot even unlock. Like, because when you buy an Android phone, make sure it's actually possible to unlock the bootloader so you're able to install different operating systems. So normally we expect we buy a device and we can install software on it what we want, but it's not the case. Thankfully, some vendors of Android phones allow you to unlock it. Like in my case, I had to go to the website of the manufacturer, read like long list of instructions, follow them step by step. In the end, I get a number, could hack it in my phone, and then it was unlocked. Of course, they say the warranty is gone when you do that, but I said, okay, I don't mind, I do that. So what happened then, what nobody told me, was that my phone was completely factory resetted. So all the data that was on it, the SMS, call logs, everything gone. But what? Okay. So I thought, okay, everything is gone anyway, so I can look into alternatives to install stuff. So I wanted to remove the crappy operating system with applications I couldn't uninstall and with the Google account nagging screen. So I looked into options, and there were basically two of them. So there is the Replicant initiative and the CyanogenMod initiative. I was looking into Replicant because they said they are building a 100% free software operating system based on Android. Because the guy before in my presentation said, yeah, Android, there's nobody actually contributing to it, but it's free software. Of course, they're not contributing to it directly, but they kind of fork it, and they have their own branches of Android. So Replicant is one of them. So they remove all the non-free stuff, all the Google apps, and the next screens, the applications nobody wants, just give you the system itself. Unfortunately, 100% free means also 100% free drivers, 100% free firmware, and most of the phones out today don't have free drivers, don't have free firmware. That's why Replicant runs only on a very limited number of devices, which is unfortunate. But for everybody who has such a device, I heartily recommend Replicant. Unfortunately, my device wasn't lucky, so I had to go to CyanogenMod, which includes non-free firmware, non-free drivers, but runs on 60, 70, maybe already 80 Android phones. So I downloaded that, I did all the instructions, and turned out it's not that easy, like especially if your technology, if you're not so good with technology, it's kind of hard to flash your device. I think it might go wrong, but it was nice. I could back up the old system on the SD card, I could flash the new system, it started right away. There were some glitches here and there, but basically worked, and I was surprised. No crappy apps, I could remove everything, I had full control, I could install a drop ear, I could SSH into my device. I had loads of more features than my other phone didn't have, and all the crap that Sony put on the device was gone. Happy. So, why is the... Okay. So then there's the apps, because if you don't connect your phone with a Google account, you cannot use this Google Play Store or Google App Store, as it was called before, Google Market, because they require you to have a Google account. So I was looking into alternatives on how to get apps. It turns out there's a free software project called F-Droid, which is run like a free software project, and that also includes only free software apps, and that also tells you, this app spies on you, it tracks you, or this app requires root access, and they include information about the licenses, they include links to the source code, they even package the source code themselves that you can download, and they have also links to donation pages where you could donate for the software, and it's actually kind of great. So I use that, and only use free software apps. And I thought, that's all kind of interesting, many people don't know about that. Maybe, since I have some time, I should just start document the whole process, to document the steps, just what I told you, document all that in a wiki. So I created a wiki page, which looked like that at the time. So I said, okay, here are operating systems, here are apps, here's Replicants, CyanogenMod, and here's the F-Droid thing, explaining how you can add apps yourself to F-Droid. So that was all that I did at the time. And then suddenly, since I was a volunteer at FSFE, I saw an email going to FSFE, and I used the FSFE fellowship wiki. I got an email from Richard Stallman telling me, yeah, this website is a good campaign, but a few points need some clarification, which is like his style. Like he says, yeah, that's good, but I want these and these points changed. And he had actually some good hints. I changed it and everything was great. But I wondered, why did he say campaign? Like, there wasn't any campaign. I was just documenting the things, and that made me think, it might actually be a campaign. We could tell more people about that. We could like raise awareness for the whole process. Yeah, maybe we should make a campaign out of it. So since I had some time, I just started the campaign, which I never did before. But since being involved in FSFE, there was a lot of people who already did and who could help me. So I talked with them, and they told me, yeah, what you could need, we could have your own domain name for the whole thing, and we could draft a press release, and you could maybe talk to some other organizations that would help and also distribute the press release. And we did all that, and then the German privacy organization Fürbud joined us. Then we had the FSF in America with Richard Stallman, which is a different organization from FSFE, joined us as well, and a Portuguese free software organization called Ansol also joined our efforts. So we drafted a press release. Well, I drafted it, and others helped me to make it actually a press release. And yeah, that is how it looked. And I was quite amazed to see that quite fast, FSFE's translator team translated it in German. Like, I'm a German native speaker, but I didn't do the German translation. Somebody else did. It's like, it's really great, like a free software project. We had, the first thing we had was a Greek translation, then Spanish, French, and Italian for the press release. So we could send all those out in the other countries as well. Quite good. And what happened was really, like, I hadn't hoped for that. It was like a big storm of news coverage and news attention. Here we got in the Age Open and Heise Online. They did an article about us. PC World, some examples. Spanish Linux Zone. And there is French Numerama covered us. Netzpolitik in Germany. Most coverage was actually German. That's probably because FSFE's press release distribution list is biggest in Germany. So this is an Austrian website, Der Standard covered us, the Russian website, and also German print media, which I was quite amazed by. This is Zeit, and this is the Taz. They did an interview with me, they called me, and I also had many calls from radio people who told me, yeah, can you give us an interview on the radio? And I was quite busy after the press release, actually, for the next few weeks, because I was astounded by the press impact we had. We were also in a news agency, which had a general message about us, and then all the other smaller newspapers and TV stations, they just took the news agency stuff and reported themselves, which I think is also responsible why we ended even up in the subway of Berlin, because they have those monitors, and there was the campaign in there. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a picture of it because when it was seen, it was running the camera in right afterward, but it was already gone. So this is actually fake. I hacked it in there. But it was really in the Berlin subway. So, and then we did those posters that you maybe have seen in the FSFE booth up there. Like, I did it myself with Inkscape, and then since FSFE saw, yeah, this campaign has such a great impact, many people are interested about it, especially because of the privacy aspect, because there's so many times you hear, these apps transfer your whole address book or your ID of your device, they transfer it somewhere. You don't know where, and it's just gone. All your contacts, somebody else has them, and maybe even more of your data, because those smartphones that you carry around with us are really powerful devices. Like, they have pictures on them, private pictures, they know our position, they have all our communications, with whom do we talk, how much, and even the contents of our conversations are in there. So people really like that. So we made flyers and posters, and FSFE funded them so that we could print them in big quantities and distribute them here and in other places. And then, after things died down a little, I had some time more to contribute myself. And as an example, I want to take F-Droid, which looks like that. It's quite simple. Like, you can here choose the category of the app you want. You see all the available ads, and you see the apps you already have installed, and you see possible updates. So it's quite minimalistic, and it's still hacked on. Like, people want to add, like, rating, and you want to see newest apps and stuff like that. And there was many free software apps around, which I found because I looked for an app that did that and that did that that was not available on F-Droid. So I looked into how I could add apps to F-Droid myself, and turns out it's actually quite easy if you understand a little bit about technology. If you've seen a Gentoo e-build or a FreeBSD ports, a recipe or an Arch recipe, which is basically quite similar to that. Here you have just metadata saying which license, where's the source code, where's the issue tracker, maybe even a donate if it's available. Summary that will show up in FDroid. What kind of repository do we have? And where is the repository? So what FDroid does, it just fetches the source code from the repository, knows how to do it because you told it what type of repository it is. Then here you have the version that you want to have shown up in FDroid, the version code Android apps always have. And this is the SVN revision number and the subdirectory where the source code actually is in. So FDroid fetches that themselves, goes in the subdirectory, builds the app, uploads it to FDroid repository, and it's there for everybody to use. And if you want to add a new app, you just have to write a recipe like that. Quite simple. And by now, there's actually an importer that helps you do that. And you can have many repositories, like in Debian, where you could also add third-party on Ubuntu PPAs. You can do that with FDroid yourself. And that's quite neat. And then I also contributed to master it because a feature wasn't in that app. And I thought, I have some time. I want that feature. So I just edit it. Talk to the contributor. He helped me. And now it's in mainline. So everybody else can use the feature I added, which is really neat about free software project. With most apps on the Android market, you don't even know, are they free software? Like, can people inspect the app to see if there's any privacy violations in there? Can people change the app, make it better? Usually it's not possible. So future plans for this campaign, we have a couple of ideas. We have actually too many to do them all. But one thing which is quite necessary, I think, is show people how to flash different operating systems on their phones, because it's not that easy, especially if you don't really know how to do it. And we want to do something like Linux install parties, which were quite famous like 10 years ago. And now we want to do that with phones, so people can come with their phone and we help them and show them how to flash it. And we actually did already one of these workshops with the Fürbot people in Bielefeld, and this is how it looks like. It was actually quite fun. So everybody bought their phones, like I had mine, and we had a Beamer, I had some slides, and we were going through this process step by step. In the end, all those people were quite happy having their phones freed. They didn't need to use a Google account anymore, they had all the crap removed, and they had a free app store, and felt a lot better about having a smartphone. We want to do that ideally in all the major European cities, in many cities in Germany, and we want to have a workshop soon in Berlin where we train people to give those workshops themselves. And for me, what is most important as well is we need to grow a better free software community in the Android world. Because right now, my perspective is that it's quite dominated by those Windows people who are used to download software from untrusted sources, from some kind of web forum. They download their operating system, put it on their phone. They have no idea where it comes from and who made it. They have no clue where will there be an update or not? How is it developed? Is it even free software? Can I look in the code? There is really no free software spirit going on, except in this FDroid community and the apps around it. Even CyanogenMod, like they have a public bug tracker and the software is developed publicly, but there's still those tendencies that they haven't really understood how free software development can work ideally. So this needs to be improved. And also, there is still some apps which are quite useful that are not available as free software apps. And one thing we did is we wrote to developers and told them, why is that app not free? You put it like without cost in this app store, but why is it not free software? What's the advantage for you? Like, what are you hiding? Well, I didn't ask that, but I was asking myself, like, what is that guy hiding? Why is he putting that in? Not asking people to pay, but still not giving us the source code. Like, strange. But if that doesn't work, also rebuilding apps like we did in the GNU Linux world, just from scratch ourselves, to replace those proprietary apps in the Google Play market. And there's no reason why a free software app couldn't be in the Google Play market as well. Except FDroid, they don't allow it there because it installs additional software. But we also want to have FDroid in CyanogenMod by default. In Replicant, it already is in. So that's basically it. One thing, if you would like to become active in this theory and the campaign itself, we have a mailing list at FSFE. And this is, if you just want to have inquiries, questions, something, just send your request there, preferably in English, because most people on there are English speakers. And if you want to subscribe to the list, this is the list.fsfe.org mailman. Okay, thanks for your attention.
Thank you for your very good presentation. Now we have a few minutes left for questions. If anyone has a question, please feel free.
Does there exist a group in Berlin already?
Yeah, well, the FSFE has this fellowship thing where you can just show up and you can meet local people that are interested in free software as well, and the Berlin group is quite big. And within that Berlin fellowship group of FSFE, we are planning to do that workshop, and many of those people already have an Android phone and are quite eager to start. So if you go to the FSFE website and look for Fellowship Group Berlin, you will find that.
Another question? It seems not to be another question.
Oh. Back there in the back. And also for all the others, go to freeyourandroid.org and all the information in detail is there that you need.
Hello, I'm Wolfgang. You said that you can flash the operating system of an existing smartphone in your workshop. And the question is, do you already have the opportunity to back up the old status to restore it just in case you need it afterwards?
Yes, that is possible. There's some kind of bootloader that comes with CyanogenMod, for example, that allows you to back up the old operating system on the SD card, and then you can also restore it later if you like. But for manufacturers, what is important is whether you unlocked the device or not. So when you unlocked it, the warranty, they say, is usually broken. But if my keyboard that slides out is broken mechanically, like, I still try to get the warranty, because for me that's not a software problem.
Another question?
You have a mic there next to you, I think.
Often I hear that it's hard to rebuild your own Android and to hack on the Android sources. I personally tried this with CyanogenMod, and I was quite content with the state, so I could rebuild and reflash it. Did you have some bad experience with rebuilding your Android? Do you try rebuilding from other projects, or do you have some recommendations here if you want to hack on the actual operating system part or on the Delvik or whatever?
Well, if you want to hack on the actual operating system, I think CyanogenMod is your best call because it's the most actively developed software branch of Android. They accept outside contributions as well. And they have their repositories, I think, are all on GitHub, and you can see them, and it works quite nice. And you can also build it yourself on your own machine if it's powerful enough.
Another question? So it seems there's no other question. Then thank you for your presentation again.
Thanks.